couple of words which I trust the Lord will enable me to make a few remarks, will be found in the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 9, and we'll read the 5th and the 6th verses. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. How different is the religion of the people of God to that which is so evident with which we are surrounded today. Where the Lord's people, right from the beginning of time, have been a people who have been troubled with great enemies, whose life has been nothing but warfare, and how they've had to prove that carnal weapons are of no avail. Very few in the day in which we live know what it is to battle against that great enemy of souls. For the most part, the religious world are a happy people, satisfied with their religion, hardly have, if ever, any doubts with regard to their standing. But just here and there, there is one godly soul, one who is wrought upon by the Holy Spirit, one who is brought into deep exercise, who knows something of the warfare. For every battle, there are very many battles that the child of God meets with, but every one, without exception, every battle of the warrior is with confused noise. Whilst we've been graciously preserved from having to go into the battlefield naturally, we've known what it is to have to suffer aerial bombardment, and we know a little of the noise which warfare makes and how confused one can be under such circumstances. And we can well imagine what confusion takes place at the height of battle and the battlefield. But what is this compared to the confusion that takes place within the hearts of the Lord's people as they are brought to battle against that great enemy of souls? What confusion, what havoc he brings within. How they're brought to realize that that easy-going religion is not for them, that they can find no true satisfaction as others do, as they are brought into great doubt as to their standing before God. And wherever they look, so they are confused. If they look to the church, they cannot find comfort there. There is so much going on in the churches which confuse them, always has been. If they look to the Lord's people, they may find some comfort from them for a while, but then the more they learn of them, well, then they become more confused. The same applies with godly ministers, those who perhaps they look up to, those who they've felt a blessing under their ministry, and then as time goes on, things change in such a way they bring confusion. And so there are so many things, so many different ways. And then as they read the Word of God, they seem to receive a certain amount of comfort from it. And then as they continue, it would appear that even the very scriptures contradict themselves. And then Satan will come with all sorts of insinuations, and how they fall a prey to these insinuations. And they seem to be completely under the power of the enemy of souls. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise. How they are tempted at times to believe that the Word of God cannot possibly be true because it appears so contrary to them. Because as yet, the Holy Spirit has not revealed the truths. How we need the Lord to come and to show us and lead us in this battle. And how they look to all sorts of weapons, various ways of escape. If only they could find a little peace, if only they could find a little comfort, then all would be well. But it seems to be one continuous battle. It's not as if there's any peace, any quietness. As one said, no sooner that one trouble ends, another begins. And then they have before them eternity. And how confused one can become in this. How Satan can prey upon the mind. And how we can be brought to believe, as so many do believe, that when death comes, that will be the end of everything. How we perhaps try to imagine that death will bring an end to all our troubles. Some poor things have even been left to take their own lives believing this. And by taking their own lives, all their troubles will come to an end. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise. And I believe the child of God is so often brought to that place that he knows not where he is or what he's doing or where he's going. But also, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. This battle is going to be a battle which is totally different to normal battles. The intensity of it is going to be greater than any natural battle. And whilst the children of Israel fought or had as enemies the Assyrians, the Philistines, and all those great enemies who rose up against them, yet this battle which was prophesied, it was a greater battle than any battle that the Israelites had ever experienced before. And this was a battle between God, the creator of this universe, and that great satanic power. As the Lord Jesus came upon this earth to redeem his church, for every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. And so as he came upon this earth, it was with confused noise. None could ever believe, apart from a handful of shepherds, that he was the Lord and Saviour, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How they expected him to, although they believed that he would come, they believed in the prophecy, but how they expected him to come as an earthly monarch to reign over them, to rule over them. How deceived we can be, even in the interpretation of the scriptures, and how we need the Lord to reveal these things to us. I believe so many, they have an understanding, a literal understanding of the scriptures, but oh, to be led into the scriptures spiritually. And we should know that the word of God then is true, however confusing it may be, that those parts which to us at times have been so confusing, we find are so sweet, and we find such a sweet harmony in those portions, as the Holy Spirit works within our hearts, shines upon the Word, and shows the complete harmony in His Word. And there is no confusion in the Word of God. But there is much confusion in the way in which Satan works. And so this is a prophecy with regard to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, of that great battle which He would fight on behalf of His church, how He and He alone could bring this about, and how He and He alone could conquer that great and that mighty foe. If there's one here tonight who is so confused because of the way in which things are going with you, as you read the Word, as you look upon yourself, as you feel your own weakness, your own inability, you see the law of God in all its purity, you believe that that law must be fulfilled, and as you endeavour, you come so far short. And the more you try to fulfil the law of God, well then the more confused you become, because you realise your inability to do it. And then as you travel on, there are so many things which attract and distract, which take your mind away from all that's good. And how easily you become a prey to Satan. How easily it is to be caught up into some battle, even by a word, or by some incident that takes place around you. How you'd be taken up with the ungodly and the worldly. And how you can listen to their conversation, and how their conversation will make you more confused. And then you look at their lives, and you look at the life of the professor, and they seem to have such a wonderful way and strength, so different to that which you possess. All you seem to possess is weakness, frailty of the flesh. All you seem to possess is everything that's weak. You have no strength in and of yourself. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise. There's so much going on, and there is fire from every angle. There's a fire before you, on every side and behind you. You don't know where the enemy is. You don't know what the end's going to be. There's so much going on. If only one could have a little peace to settle down for a while to try and think things out. The Lord will never allow you to do this. He will never allow you to have a little peace to think things out for yourself. Once this battle has begun, it must go right the way through. And therefore, you will be brought to realize that you need help, that there must be some help coming somewhere, or else you will be completely annihilated. And then the more you look at the law of God, the more you tremble, as that great enemy of souls comes before you and accuses you. Do you know anything of that great accuser of souls? Or how hot the battle is then, when he comes and points out to you the evils of your heart, your sins. And as to David of old, thou art the man, thou art the woman. But as one is led to see that banner which the Lord alone is able to set before your eyes, to see that the conquest does not depend upon you, but it is dependent upon him who guides, who leads, who directs. No soldier in the battlefield can ever win a battle on his own. He has to have training. He has to be rightly equipped. He has to know much about the enemy. And who but the Lord Jesus Christ is able to reveal to the sinner his need, and who alone is able to supply that need. Now Paul, in writing to the Philippians, he says, "My God shall supply all your need." And it is indeed a great mercy to know in the time of warfare that there is one, and to be led by the Holy Spirit to see this one who alone is able to supply all our need. "But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire." This burning is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is when the Lord Jesus came up out of the water of baptism, so the Holy Spirit descended upon him visibly, although invisible to those who witnessed, who were not under the influence of that Spirit. But how that Spirit was with him right from the time of his birth, right to the time that he said, "It is finished," how that Spirit is with him now, and how that Spirit works within the heart of his people, how it burns up. First of all, it burns everything of nature. When all the help of man is vain, and this Spirit will burn, it will completely bring to dust and ashes everything that you hope upon. All your hopes will be dashed with regard to eternity, and you will be brought face to face with this almighty God. "But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire." And how it seems that as this work of burning and consuming goes on, so that more fuel is added to this fire, fresh sins will accumulate, fresh guilt will accumulate, and one feels that although their case appeared helpless and hopeless at one time, now it's worse than ever. And then the Holy Spirit leads them to a precious Christ. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." The weight, the responsibility, and the government of every act, of every desire, of every prayer will be upon him. "Upon him call in humble prayer. Thou still art his peculiar care. He'll surely turn and smile again, nor shalt thou seek his face in vain. The government shall be upon his shoulders. Oh, how hard it is to believe that Satan, with all his satanic power, is governed and controlled by this almighty power of God. Oh, how much faith we need to believe it. How much light upon the Word of God we need, and spiritual understanding to see it. And yet, if it were not for the Holy Spirit revealing such light and revealing such understanding, the child of God would die in despair. But that he never will. However painful the fire may be, whatever fuel may be added to it, yet everything is governed, everything is controlled by Almighty God. All must come and last and end as shall please our heavenly friend. And so it will. None can ever stay his hand. And this at times will seem to add fuel to the fire, when we are brought to really believe that nothing will ever stay his hand, because we know that his purposes will continue, that this battle must be fought. And we are brought into great fear as to what the future may hold. We lose sight of the fact that the government is upon his shoulders. And also, not only that, what his name is recorded here. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. There's not time to enter into this as we would desire this evening. But just a few thoughts that we may have been able to remember and trust and hope in, if we are brought into this battle, to realize that we're not going to be the winners ourselves. How we should be brought dependent upon the Lord for everything, and how he will bring us to be dependent upon him. And we shall see how wonderful this God is in times of battle. How in our weakness we can find strength. And whatever temptations Satan may set before us, that with that temptation, the wisdom of God is such that he will make a way of escape. Ah, but you say, I have fallen under the tempter's power. I have sinned under the tempter's power. But he still made a way of escape. There are these garments rolled in blood. Who are these arrayed in white robes? Whence came they? These are they that came out of tribulation. Indeed not. These are they that came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, what a mercy it is to be led to the Lamb of God as our only hope of salvation, and then to see all these wonderful characters in him that we've never seen before. To see him not only as a child, that he can come down to where we are. Yesterday we were speaking with regard to the, when I was a child, I spake as a child. But how the Lord, it doesn't matter how low we are, or how childish we may be, even in our thoughts, to remember that he was a child. Whatever our walk of life, he knows all about it. But he came upon this earth so in such a way, in such humility, if only there was more childlike expressions, if only we could be more childlike in our pleas at the throne of grace, more childlike in our approach to God, I believe we would then be much more prosperous in our souls. But how this precious Lamb of God, he came upon this earth as a child. But when one is raised up to a little hope in the mercy of God, and we're able to say, unto us a child is born. You take the parents as they look upon their first child, the satisfaction, the pleasure that it brings, unto us. It unites them more, doesn't it? How a family is united more as a child is born. Unto us a child is born. But how the church of God, they can see that God, as it were, to start with, is so small, they cannot appreciate the greatness of this God. They see him perhaps as a child. They see him in weakness, and yet they can see him as a child. But then how this God grows in the experience of the battle of the child of God. How this God, who at first appeared to them in such a way, with all his weakness, with all his frailties, in his humanity, as one looks upon this God, perhaps as we so often do, as one like ourselves. But then how this God grows in the experience of this warfare, as one is brought through one battle under the power and the influence of this God and the Holy Spirit, and as one is able to trust upon this God. And then as we are led into another conflict, and as we are brought up against Satan again, so this God becomes greater in our experience. He becomes more powerful. Not that he does become more powerful, but I'm speaking now as individuals and our understanding of this God. And as time goes on, so this God becomes more precious. And the more we're brought into conflict, and the greater the battle is, the more we should desire to go to this God and to seek his counsel, to seek his wisdom, and to seek his understanding, because he knows all about what's going on, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name should be called Wonderful. Why? Because there is nothing more wonderful, even beyond the works of creation, than the way of salvation. As we look upon the works of creation, there's nothing which is so wonderful to us as we see the universe and how everything is held in place and how the seasons appear year after year and how the sun and the moon, how they rotate in the earth, and then the crops and the even the human body and the smallest insect, how wonderful they appear to us when we look at these things rightly. But what are these compared to the wonderful plan of redemption? To think that this great almighty God, who framed and created the universe, should become a child. His name should be called Wonderful. And then that he should grow up as man. And then to be rejected of his own people. Although he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he could have come upon this earth as a great monarch. But it was the wonderful way in which salvation was brought about. The wonderful way in which his own were able, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, to see him and to know him and to seek for him. And how men and women today, under that same Spirit, are led not only through the warfare, but also by that same Spirit to seek him and also to find him. And how this God is found, and he is found of those who sought him not. And what a great comfort he is to them, and what a wonderful God, as he grows in their experience, he is to them. And the wonderful blessings that he provides them with, and that blessing of blessings, the way of salvation. Although their battle was lost, yet he fought on their behalf, how he kept close to them, how he instructed them, how he guided them, how he brings them to Calvary. When we come to consider the way in which the children of Israel went through the wilderness, the many battles that they fought, the way in which the Lord led them, the way in which the Lord provided for them, surely they could say, even naturally, that this God, the government was upon his shoulder, and that his name was called Wonderful. The wonderful way in which he brought them through the wilderness, and the wonderful way in which he is now, according to his own word, bringing them to their own country. Whatever man may do, there may be many battles for Israel to fight even yet, but how this God will eventually settle them, and how he will open their eyes, and they will see that God as never before, but how much more so the Church of God, spiritual Israel, as this God goes before them, as he leads them through this wilderness, how he brings them into those places and spots and manifests his love and his favor towards them. Has this God ever been wonderful to you? Have you ever been able to look at this God and he's been a real wonder to you? The wondrous way of salvation. You know, man, he talks so flippantly about it, doesn't he? But when one is brought into this battle against the enemy, and when they see the law of God so broken, and when they stand before that just and holy God so guilty, and then to be led to see this wonderful Redeemer, it seems that the very scriptures themselves cannot describe him as we would. He shall be called Wonderful. He shall. It seems to me that even in our mortal flesh we are unable to call him wonderful as he is. Words do not express what this great Redeemer is to his people. All we can say is that he is wonderful. And one has to experience the wonders of redeeming love before they are able to understand it. We cannot convey as much as we would desire to. We cannot convey what this wondrous thing is. It is something which has to be burnt within the soul, and where the Holy Spirit and the fuel from on high, which creates a love within our heart toward this wonderful God and his electing mercy toward us, where we are able to see his sovereignty and his knowledge even before the foundation of the world. Counselor. Or if we were left to ourselves and our own counsels, where would we be at the time of battle? But how the Lord, in various ways, as we read through the scriptures, as he counseled the Church of God. And what wonderful counsel does the Lord give to his people? To trust him, to seek for his help, to seek for his guidance, to leave everything which is of men, and to go to him, and to stick to this God, to seek him above all others, because he alone has this wonderful counsel, and he alone is able to direct us in all our affairs, both in providence as well as in grace. How we look back upon some of the foolish steps that we've taken with our counsel, and yet how this God has ruled and overruled to bring about his own counsels, how he's put our own foolishness to good effect through his own wonderful ways. His name should be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Mighty Savior, said, one suits me well. If he wasn't mighty, Well, then he wouldn't be very much good to some of us, would he? But this is another great beauty. He's so mighty. His power is over sin, death and hell. And what might is his to save a rebellious wretch from hell? When we come to consider the rebellion which goes on within the heart of his people against the way in which he directs, the way in which he counsels, there's rebellion. But he says, rebellious thou hast been, and art rebellious still. But since in love I took thee in, my promise I'll fulfill. And so here's his counsel, and here is his mighty power in fulfilling that which he has promised to do. What mighty power it needs for this God to be unchangeable. When we come to consider the frailties of our nature, what might we would need to be unchangeable to our fellow friends, fellow creatures? How the least little thing will upset, how it will alter our affection toward them perhaps. What almighty power would be necessary to make us unchangeable toward them? And then when we come to consider the rebellion, the wretchedness, the sin of the church of God, and how this mighty God is unchangeable toward them. His love doesn't alter, not to a single degree. His purpose toward them cannot be altered. He's a mighty God in that respect. And then he is so mighty that he overcomes Satan, and he overcomes that last great enemy, death. Takes the sting completely away from it, so that his people, although deserving eternal misery, find eternal bliss through him. And therefore, not only is he the mighty God, he's the everlasting Father who provides everything for the spiritual family, and last of all, the Prince of Peace, the Prince, the Son of the King of Kings. He is the Prince of Peace. And how one is brought to know a little of the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. What a wonderful thing it is when rebellious sinners are brought to know something of the peace of God within their own hearts. Peace by the cross as Jesus made, the church's everlasting head. When one is brought to see their sin, the broken law, hell as their portion, no peace in this earth, no peace hereafter, and then to be brought to see the Lord Jesus and to have peace brought within that rebellious heart. You know, at times it seems impossible to set before the people how wonderful this God is and what he can do for those who feel their need. But also the proud, the Pharisee and the so-called religious, how we can cut them off in a moment, and how it is the sinners that the Lord has mercy upon. And here we can see that those who do not require this peace, because they're so righteous in and of themselves, they have no desire for it. But it's only the sinner, it's only those who know what a broken law is, that will ever be brought to know what this peace is. And it's not the peace that man seeks after upon this earth either. It's not the happiness that man seeks after upon this earth. This peace cannot be compared to a natural peace. This peace is a complete union between God and his church. A complete oneness. Nothing to mar that union. There's much to mar the union whilst the church is in this militant state. But when the church triumphant is complete, there will be this wonderful peace, this completeness, never known before. And as the child of God comes through that last battle and sees those garments dyed in blood, says, who is this that cometh up out of Eden, dyed garments from Bozrah? Who is this leaning upon her beloved? Why, the church of God, where do you lean when you're brought into battle? Isn't it good to have this God to lean upon in our times of need? And where we can lean upon him as our beloved. For every battle the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. But there is peace to come, and to know something of the reality of these things which we've tried to set before you this evening, to have the experience of them within our own hearts, and then at last to know what true, eternal, unchanging peace will be. There is a prospect to the people of God. There is a prospect to those who are fighting under the banner of Almighty God, this great enemy of souls. Well, may the Lord then so encourage us, and may he bring us into this battle. May we esteem it a favour to be brought even to suffer with the people of God, and to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We must leave it. May the Lord add his blessing